Well, thank you very much for your welcome. It's a real joy and a privilege to be here today and to come and bring God's words to you. As Elisha said, I come from Norfolk. Some of you may have been there. Probably most of you haven't. Some of you may not even know where Norfolk is. It's quite out in the sticks. But I've come from there this morning. And I was thinking as I walked from the station to here, in many ways incredibly different, and yet the needs are still the same, aren't they? The needs of men and women and boys and girls, lost and needy and needing Jesus Christ. And so it's good to be here with you today. And I come as a sinner saved by grace. I need to hear the truth that I'm going to preach today as much as you do. Still wrestling with a sinful heart and with the need for greater faith and trust in God. And I pray today that God will speak to us and meet with us and deal with us so that we won't be the same men again, but we'll be more like Jesus and more earnest in serving him. And so, as you'll know from the program, although it does depend on which program you were sent, I am speaking today on Enoch, walking with God, Abraham, trusting in God, and Jacob, wrestling with God. But it's good to be here. And so, we're going to begin by looking at Enoch. And so I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis and chapter 5. And we're going to read that chapter. Genesis and chapter 5. How wonderfully rich God's word is. Such rich variety in it. And we're going to read a genealogy. I'm going to learn from it today. So let's hear God's words. Genesis and chapter 5. Let's hear the word of God. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. After he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years and he had sons and daughters. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. And he died. Seth lived 105 years and begot Enosh. After he begot Enosh, Seth lived 807 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Seth were 912 years. And he died. Enosh lived 90 years and begot Canaan. After he begot Canaan, Enosh lived 815 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. After he begot Mahalalel, Canaan lived 840 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. Mahalalel lived 65 years and begot Jared. After he begot Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years. And he died. Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. After he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years. And he died. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. After he begot Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years. And he died. Lamech lived 182 years and had a son. He called his name Noah, saying, "This one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord has cursed." After he begot Noah, Lamech lived 595 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And we thank God for his word, and we look to him for his help this morning. So we begin this morning. Enoch, walking with God. There's a great interest in genealogies today, aren't there? There's a great interest in people in tracing their family history, their family trees, finding out who their ancestors were. There are various websites that will help you to do it. There are programs on the television that will take some famous person and look through their family history and family tree. It's often said, isn't it, that it's best not to look too far back into your family history for who you might find out, who you might discover there, what strange people. Shake your family tree and watch the nuts fall out, they say, don't they? You never know who you might find in there. Well, before us this morning is the first ever genealogy, the first ever list of ancestors. And it takes us right back to the beginning of time, right back to Adam. Now, as I say, when people look into their family tree, they're always interested to know, aren't they? Who's there? Is there someone great? Is there someone famous? Is there some royalty? Have we got royalty in the blood somewhere? Well, here we are. We're looking at this family. Is there anyone who stands out? Is there anyone special? Is there anyone we should note? Well, there is, isn't there? There's someone amazing in this family tree. There's a man called Enoch. He wasn't royalty. He didn't, in one sense, do anything great in terms of this world. But he walked with God. What greater thing could be said of us, could be said of anyone than this, that they walked with God? And I want to remind you this morning that Enoch is one of your ancestors. That if you go back in your family tree far enough, Enoch is there. Because we read, didn't we, Enoch is the great-grandfather of Noah. And if we believe in the flood, which we all do, we all come from Noah. And so if you were to go back and great, 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 lots of greats, you'd come to this man, Enoch. And he walked with God. And so my question for you, for myself this morning is this. What about you and me? Can this be said of us today? That we walk with God. That's what we need, isn't it? That's what we need to be. We need to be those who walk with God. We may think we have many other needs, but this is our great need, that we walk with God. This is what our churches need of us, that we walk with God. It's what our wives need, our children need. They need a father who walks with God, a husband who walks with God, a pastor who walks with God, a deacon, an elder, a fellow church member who they can look at and they can say, there is a man who walks with God. McShane said, didn't he, my people's greatest need is my personal holiness. Our people's greatest need, whoever they might be, whatever sphere of influence we might have, is that we are men who walk with God. And we're going to ask various questions then this morning about walking with God. And the first question is this: how is it possible that we can walk with God? How is it possible that we can walk with God? And to answer that, we have to go back to the first verse of the chapter, to verse 1, where we're reminded of the fact that we were made by God and for God. Look at verse 1. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, He made him in the likeness of God. How is it possible that we can walk with God? Here's the reason. Because we haven't evolved. We're not here by chance. We were created by God, and we were made like God. To use the expression in chapter 1, you know, verse 26 and 27, we've been made in the image of God. What does it mean that we've been made in the image of God? It means that we were made like God in certain ways. Made to be able to create and appreciate. Made moral, spiritual beings. Made to know and to be known. Made for relationships. And especially for a relationship with God. That's why God made us. That is how God made us. He made us to know Him, and He made us with the ability to know Him, the capacity to know Him, to appreciate Him, to wonder at Him, to glory in Him, with the ability to communicate with Him, to praise Him, to pray to Him, to seek Him. He made us answerable to Him as moral creatures made in His image. And that's the way in which we stand out in creation. We're not just intelligent apes. We're not just a little bit higher than the rest. We've been made by God in His image to know Him, to walk with Him, to wonder at Him, to glory in Him. And that's what Adam and Eve did at the beginning, didn't they? They walked with God in the garden in the cool of the day. That's what marks mankind out. That's what marks us out. Men, we need to remember that, don't we? There's a dignity and a glory and a wonder that we have been made in the image of God. Of course, we're bombarded today, aren't we? With everything that tells us that isn't. We're just an accident. We're just chance. It just saps all meaning from life, doesn't it? No, brothers. We're made by God in His image to know Him and glory in Him. And if we're not doing that, then we haven't begun to fulfill our potential. We haven't begun to live, have we? On a fairly regular basis, you hear an item on the news that some poor couple have won the Euro lottery. I think 117 million was the last one I heard. They never have to work again. They never have to worry about finance. Well, they probably will, actually, but they can go wherever they want, live wherever they want, do whatever they want, and yet they still won't be satisfied, will they? They'll still be restless. They'll still want more. Why? Because we were made for more than 117 million pounds. We were made to walk with God. There's the first thing, then, we need to realize and grasp this morning as we begin this day. That is how we were made. How is it possible to walk with God? Verse 1 gives us the answer. Second question, when is it possible to walk with God? And my answer is this, even in godless days. Even in godless days. You see, as we go through this genealogy, what's happening? Well, we're getting further and further away from Eden and nearer and nearer and nearer to the flood, aren't we? What's the direction? The direction is away from God, isn't it? It's increasingly godless. There's a downward trend. Enoch was living in days that are becoming more and more godless. An age moving further and further away from God. An age becoming increasingly wicked, increasingly bloodthirsty, increasingly violent, increasingly immoral. So that when we come to chapter 6 and we read those well-known words in verse 5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he'd made man on the earth. For there it is in verse 12 of chapter 6. The Lord looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. That's the way the world was going, even in Enoch's day. That's the direction. So he wasn't living, was he, in some idyllic surroundings in which to live that sort of life. He was faced every day with that trend, that movement, a godless, immoral, wicked world. And yet in the midst of that, Enoch walked with God. He stands out in an evil day. That's an encouragement, brothers. And it's a challenge as well. Because we're certainly living in evil days, aren't we? It's just incredible, really. The way things are going, the trend is away from God, isn't it? It's increasingly wicked, immoral, violent, godless days in which we live. And undoubtedly, there's much to discourage us from living a life like Enoch. As we live in this world, it's so easy for this world to rub off on us and for its dirt and grime to affect us. And we might be tempted to think it's too much to expect that we could possibly live such a life as this. You know, the best we can hope for is just to survive, just get through, just make it to the end. But no, Enoch would say, would remind us that even in godless days, it's possible to walk with God. Indeed, it's even more important, isn't it? In days like this, that we are men who walk with God. But then it's also worth pointing out under this heading that Enoch not only stood out in a wicked world, but he stood out in a godly line as well, didn't he? He stood out in a godly line. Now, considering these early days of Genesis is really fascinating, isn't it? It's very interesting. We see from this chapter that Enoch comes from Adam through the descendants of Seth, Adam's third son. Seth was his great-great-great-grandfather. And Enoch himself was the father of Methuselah, the oldest man who ever lived. And he was also the great-grandfather of Noah. So this is the godly line, then, of Seth that's preserved from the flood. Now, we must remember, mustn't we, because of the age that some of these early people lived to, that all the people in this genealogy in chapter 5 overlapped each other, didn't they? They were all probably personally known to Enoch. So Enoch knew Adam. If you work out the dates, their lives overlapped by about 200 years. And of this family line, actually, only Adam dies before Enoch is taken. Seth, his great-great-great-grandfather survived him. It's quite an incredible thought, isn't it, really? To be survived by your great-great-great-grandfather. But my point is this, that even in a godly line, even with a nucleus of believers around him, Enoch stands out, doesn't he? The account runs for several generations without anything truly remarkable happening. But then Enoch comes. You see, this genealogy follows a very strict pattern, doesn't it, as you go through it until you come to Enoch. Up to that point, what's recorded are names and ages and people. You're simply told so-and-so lived. You're told how old he was when his first child was born. You're told the name of that child, how many years he lived after that, the fact that he had sons and daughters, and then he died. It's a very strict pattern. It follows the same pattern with every single one. But then comes Enoch. And Enoch breaks the pattern, doesn't he? Enoch breaks the mold. Enoch stands out, even in a godly line. So-and-so lived so many years, Enoch walked with God. So-and-so lived for this many years, Enoch walked with God for 300 years. You see, man, he stands out, he breaks the mold. Even in a godly line. He doesn't just sort of follow on. He doesn't just take, as it were, his standard from everyone else. Enoch stands out, and he walks with God. And my friends, this is the attitude that we're to have as believers, aren't we? We're not to think, so long as I keep up with the other people in the church, that will be all right. So long as, I follow their standard, that will be okay. Because we often use that as an excuse rather than an incentive, don't we? That's the way we work. That's the way we work. We say, well, I can watch that television program because so-and-so in the church watches it. Or I can go there because so-and-so in the church goes there. Or whatever. We need men who are going to stand out, don't we? not a competition, of course, but men whose standard is Jesus Christ, whose standard is God's word, who are not afraid to stand out, who are not afraid to appear godly, and for other Christians to say, well, they're a little bit too serious about their Christian walk. We need men who are ready to stand out for God, even to break the mold. Let's ask a third question. What is needed to walk with God? So that's when is it possible to walk with God. Third question, what is needed to walk with God? And of course, the first thing that is needed is that we need to be reconciled to God. We must be right with God. Amos chapter 3, verse 3 asked that question, can two walk together unless they are agreed? And of course, the unspoken answer is no. And man cannot walk with God unless he is right with God. So I've already mentioned that Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden in the cool of the day. But of course, sin ruined that, didn't it? Sin destroyed that. Sin made it impossible to walk with God, to have fellowship with God. And so before we can walk with God, we have to be reconciled to God. God must no longer be angry with us. Our sin must be put away. And of course, that's what the gospel has accomplished. That's what Christ has done. That's what was happening at the cross. And it's only in Jesus Christ, and it's only because of him, it's only as God deals with our sin and puts our sin away and clothes us in the righteousness of Jesus Christ that we can then come to God and know him and be right with him and walk with him. That's the glory of the gospel, isn't it? That it reconciles us to God, that enables sinful and wicked men like us to know God and walk with him. So that's where walking with God begins. It begins at the cross, doesn't it? It begins with Jesus Christ and him crucified. But then also linked with that, what is needed to walk with God is faith. That's why Enoch follows Abel in the great hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, because he was a man of faith. Let's just turn to those words a moment. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Let's remind ourselves of what is said about Enoch in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 11, verse 5. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We'll come back to verse 5 in a moment, but look at verse 6. He who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And here is why it is that Enoch walks with God, because he has faith. He believes that God is. He believes that God can be known. He's been told that if he diligently seeks God, he will find him. He will know him. He will walk with him. And he believes that. He lays hold of that. And by faith, he walks with God. He seeks the God who is, as we sung this morning, invisible. And that's what's needed, brothers, if we're going to walk with God. We must have faith. Faith in God. Faith in his promises. That he is the living God. That he can be known. That he can be sought. That he can be found. That he can be walked with. That this book is true. That's what we need. And we must pray, Lord God, increase our faith. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And my prayer is that through meeting together today, our faith might be strengthened. That we might go away believing more. A third thing that is needed to walk with God, we need reconciliation with God, we need faith in God. We need a holy life, brothers, if we're going to walk with God. What are we told about Enoch in Hebrews 11? Before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He pleased God. Now we know that Enoch wasn't perfect. We know that he needed a savior to make him acceptable to God. He trusted in that feed that was to come. Yet while all around were making God angry, while all around were causing God to be sorry that he'd ever made that man, as it says in chapter 6 and verse 6, while the wicked were so trying that God was going to send a flood to destroy them, Enoch pleased God. Enoch caused God delight. If you're back in Genesis again, if you look on to chapter 6, and verse 9, we read about Enoch's great-grandson, Noah. It's also said of him that he walked with God there. But look at the description of Noah's character given just before that. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect or blameless in his generation. And then what follows on? Enoch walked with God. In other words, he was a holy man. He was a righteous man. And then it says, Enoch walked with God. Brothers, the two are inseparable, aren't they? You can't have one without the other. If we want to walk with God, then we must be holy men. We must deal with sin. We must be men who are concerned about holiness. To walk with God, we must please God. How do we please him? By believing and living according to his word. We mustn't kid ourselves, brothers, as we often try to do. We can't walk with God if we're not obeying him. If we're not living, seeking to live according to his word. I've no doubt at all, if we'd have met Enoch, we would have been struck by his holiness, by his concern to obey God, to please God. He would have stood out as a holy man. Brothers, do we have that concern for holiness in our lives? Do we have a concern to deal with sin in our lives? Are we concerned about being in the right sense separate from this wicked world? You can't walk with God and have one foot in this world. This world is walking in a different way to God. If we'll want fellowship with God, we must walk in the light. Because God himself is light. Brothers, we must be serious about holiness, about obeying God's words, about dealing with sin, about separation from the world. What is needed to walk with God? Reconciliation with God, faith in God, holiness of life. Let's ask a fourth question. What does it mean to walk with God? What does it mean? First of all, it means to live our lives conscious of his presence. Conscious of his presence. Just turn on to Genesis 24 with me for a moment. We're going to be looking at Abraham later on at one point in his life. But in chapter 24 and verse 40, this is when the servant is sent to get a bride for Isaac. Just in chapter 24 and verse 40, the servant is recounting the words of Abraham. And he says there, "But he said to me, 'The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with you and prosper your way.'" That's an interesting expression, isn't it? The Lord before whom I walk. In other words, he lived his life. He walked through life conscious that he's before God. He's in the presence of God, and walking with God involves that. Living our lives ever conscious of the fact that we're in the presence of God, that we live our lives out before God. And Enoch was clearly a man who was conscious of that. That as he went about his daily life, God was there. He was in the presence of God. The things that he said, the things that he did, the things that he thought, they were all done in the presence of the Almighty God. That's part of walking with God, isn't it? Having an awareness all of the time that we're in his presence, that he's here this morning with us, that Jesus Christ is present, that all our conversations are heard by him, and all our actions are seen by him, and all our thoughts are known to him. We walk before him. Brothers, if we can grasp that, what an impact it will have on us. If we're more aware of that. If you are with a truly godly person, that's very clear, isn't it? That they're conscious that they're in the presence of God, and you become aware of it too. And we need to cultivate that, don't we? We need to pray that. Lord, help me to always be conscious that I'm in your presence, that I walk before you. I think it was Hudson Taylor who penned these words, Lord Jesus, make thyself to me a living, bright reality, more present to faith's vision keen than any earthly object seen, more dear, more intimately nigh than even the sweetest earthly tie. Lord, help me to know that you are with me. Walking with God means to live conscious of his presence. Walking with God involves, secondly, fellowship with him. Undoubtedly, Enoch talked with God as he walked with him. It wasn't that sort of Enoch was aware of God's presence and sort of like a, you know, like a big brother watching CCTV cameras on the trees as he walked by in that sort of way. It wasn't a silent walk. Walking with God involved Enoch talking with him. The God in whose presence he lived was the God that he knew, the God he'd been reconciled to, the God that he loved, the God that he spoke with. It involved, walking with God involved Enoch telling God that he loved him, that he needed him, that he longed for him, that he wanted to please him. It involved fellowship with God. And walking with God, brothers, must involve daily coming to him, taking up this book and reading it. That's the word of God, that this is the way that God speaks to us. This is the way that he deals with us. This is the way he has fellowship with us. That I open his word, and I read it, and I see him in it, and I know him through it, and I see Jesus Christ in it, and he deals with me by it, and I then turn from it to prayer and to seek him and to know him. And I have fellowship with this God. We can't truly walk with God without times of fellowship with God, without shutting ourselves away with him, without beginning the day reading his word and seeking him in prayer. And I need to ask you this morning, brothers, as I ask myself, how is that aspect of your Christian life? How is your own personal devotion? How is your quiet? So easy, isn't it, to let that slip? So easy for it to go in the busyness of life with all the things that are going on. Very easy for it to become routine and form. And yet we can't walk with God without meeting with him, without spending time with him. And perhaps the Lord has brought you here today just to challenge you on that very point. Walking with God involves fellowship with him. Walking with God involves seeking him with all your heart. Who does he draw near to? He draws near to those who draw near to him. We read in Hebrews 11:6, after speaking about Enoch pleased God, it says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. But he who comes to God must believe that he is. But that's not enough, is it? And he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Who seek him, you will search for me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So what does that tell us? It told us that walking with God was not somewhere down the list of priorities for Enoch. It was there at the top, wasn't it? Everything in his life was subservient to this. Everything in his life was shaped by this fact that he wanted to walk with God and know God. And anything that would hinder that was dealt with. And anything that would encourage that was promoted in his life. That's what it means to diligently seek him, to say, this is the priority. This must come first. My family, my job, my career, everything comes second to this. That I want to know God and walk with him. So again, I challenge you as I challenge myself this morning. Is that true of us? Are we seeking him with our whole hearts? Is this first, brothers? Is all that we do colored by this desire to walk with God? When you turn the computer on, when you turn the television on, when you decide what you're going to do that day, is it all shaped by the fact that you're a man who wants to walk with God? One last thing about what it involves to walk with God, what it means. It involves doing everything in his name and for his glory. Undoubtedly, Enoch did not live in an ivory tower somewhere, did he? He had to go about normal life. Verse 22 of chapter 5 tells us he had several children. You can have a fair few children in 300 years. I haven't worked out the actual figures, but you can have quite a few children, can't you? So he must have had a wife and a large family, and no doubt he had to work to feed them and provide for them, tilling the land, feed himself as well. So he didn't just sort of go off every day and go for a walk and meditate in the fields all day long. He walked with God as he lived his everyday life. As a husband, as a father, as a provider for his home. And he did then all that in fellowship with God in a way that would please God as an offering to him in his name, in his strength, for his glory. So that although Enoch had never read Paul's letter to the Colossians, he lived out what Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deeds, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Or verse 23, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. And brothers, this is crucial, isn't it, in walking with God, that we grasp this glorious, wonderful truth that we've been liberated from living empty, aimless lives. And everything that we do, we can do it for the Lord. We can do it in fellowship with him. We can do it in a way that will please and honor and glorify him, however dull our work might appear to be. We can do everything in a way that will please him. So that when we wake up in the morning, we say, Lord, I want to live today for you. I want to do everything in a way that will please you. I want to do it in fellowship with you. I want to do it in a way that will bring glory to your name. How radically different that makes our lives. And I'm sure that we need to grasp this more and more, that walking with God involves doing everything as an act of worship to him, in a way that will please God. We read here that Enoch walked with God for 300 years. I imagine that was quite some relationship, wasn't it? You know, you see a couple who've been married for 60 years, you think, wow, they must know each other well. What a relationship they must have. Here is Enoch, he walked with God for 300 years. And brothers, this is such a tremendously exciting truth that God allows us to walk with him, that he invites us to walk with him, to have fellowship with him, that he allows us through Christ to embark on a relationship with him that grows and deepens as time goes on. What does it mean to walk with God? It means to live conscious of his presence, to live in fellowship with him, seeking him with all your heart, and doing everything for his glory. And one last question as we close. What's the result of walking with God? What's the result? The result was that God took him. Enoch walked with God, it says, and he was not, for God took him. God took Enoch to be with him in heaven. It's been said, Enoch changed places, but not company. Enoch, the writer to the Hebrews said, did not see death. That's what we read, didn't we? He walked with God straight into heaven. And he walked bodily straight into heaven. It was not that he went out for a walk one day and when he didn't come back, they sent out a search party and they find him and they said, oh, God took him. No, it was like Elijah, wasn't it? When he sent out, he didn't find him. Why not? Because he was taken to heaven. He didn't die. He entered straight into heaven. And it stands in contrast again, doesn't it, to all those others. When we read it through, what happens each time? And they died. And they died. And they died. The curse. The curse. But Enoch stands out. Enoch is taken. He's taken. He's a man who walks with God and he's taken. And we're reminded in Enoch that death will not always be victorious. That there is life beyond this world. That there's a world to come. That Jesus Christ will one day come and conquer death and defeat it and remove its sting. And in Enoch, we're reminded of that. We're given a little foretaste of what happens when you walk with God and know God. This is a reminder of what our hope is. Yes, we will have to die unless the Lord comes again first. And our souls will enter heaven. And we will be with Christ, which is far better. And then the last day will come, and the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised, and a new heavens and a new earth will be made, a world of righteousness. And then what? And then we'll walk with God in that new world forever and ever, and it will get better and better and more glorious, and we will never tire of it. And it will all be because of grace. And it will all be through the cross. And it begins now. We have eternal life. We walk with God. Brothers, may God help us that we might walk with God. Let's pray. Lord, our God and Father in heaven, here we are before you this morning. You know everything about us. We can't hide with you. We can't pretend with you. We come in all our need this morning. How we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for all that you've done for us in him. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for his righteousness. Thank you, Lord God, that in Jesus Christ you've brought us into a new relationship with you. We thank you that we can walk with you. We thank you that we've begun by grace that walk. Oh, we confess that our walk is so often so feeble. We turn to a man like Enoch, Lord God, and we want to be more like him. That's our desire today. Oh, help us, Lord. Give us grace. We're so feeble. We fail so quickly. But these things that we've considered this morning make our hearts beat faster. We want this to be our experience more and more. We know that we need it, Lord. We know that our families need us to be such men. Our churches need us to be such men. Our neighbors, our work colleagues need us to be men who walk with God. Help us, Lord, we pray. And may this day be an encouragement to that end. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.